How hot is it in London right now?
Oh my God, it's not that hot, but you know, like in England, our houses are built to keep in the heat. So even if it's like 20, it feels like it's 25 in the house. Like, so whatever degrees it is outside, it's at least 5 more inside, at least where I live. So
Cool.
right now it's like 18 or 19, but it feels like it's like 24 degrees in my house. I'm sweating.
It's 30 here. It's about to be
30,
30.
really? Oh God, I
It's
can't
been
complain.
30 for a week and a half now.
Yeah,
And
next week,
it's.
I think next week here is going to be like high 20s, low 30s.
Yeah. I mean, you oh, you feel scatterbrained
Yeah.
all the time. It feels like whenever I haven't had enough fluids, like I drink a
Yeah.
lot of water.
Yeah.
Drink a lot of water, but that's not enough because you need to have like enough like salt and sugar in your blood and
Yeah.
stuff like that. And I'm really bad with that because at times I have too much sugar or I have too much salt or
Yeah.
and then it just feels like I feel a bit drunk, even though I'm
Yeah.
not.
The feeling of being drunk really is just dehydration. Like I just passed out. Like yesterday, it must have been like 2, 3 o'clock. I was just sitting here watching another podcast on YouTube, and I just passed out fully. I just had it on in the background and I just fell asleep.
Oh no, that's a great thing. We can get back to that, passing out.
What a great topic.
Because I love struggles in the show.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Then people can be like, maybe if there's someone who listens to this and they're like, oh my God, I went through this as well just yesterday.
I relate.
Yeah.
Drink
So,
water.
right, it's so important. And we have a bar upstairs, which is quite being it's becoming quite popular. So there's like a bunch of people like outside the studio who are like passing by,
Yeah.
not inside here, but like passing by.
Yeah.
So in case we hear something, it's
That's
like
okay.
cafe guests. It's like a cafe and it's also a bar. It's really cool.
That's really cool.
So so I was up there, stealing their water bottles. I
Yeah,
need
as you should, honestly.
them.
Especially if it's 30 degrees, like, and you're working in a place with a bar, like, you deserve water at least.
Right.
Maybe a cheeky margarita after, you know.
Yes, definitely. So we'll do the intro
Sure.
and I'll introduce you and then you'll introduce yourself. Okay, cool. Let's start. Hi, and welcome to Artists Alive. It's Zev, and this is a show where I interview people in the entertainment industry about their lives and careers. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest who is based in London, and they're a Twitch streamer and micro influencer and does a bunch of things online and offline. And we're going to be talking a bit about it as well as art. We're going to be talking about a bunch of random things. I'm really excited about it. Say hello to Tani Shikari. Hi.
Hello.
So for my listeners, I feel like there's going to be people who know who you are coming from, your social channels, but for the people who may not be too familiar with you, can't you tell them a bit about yourself and what it is that you do?
Sure. So I'm Tani. I'm from London. I'm 22, almost 23 next week. So, I'm getting old. And I'm a Twitch streamer, freelance illustrator, and just general, I call myself an internet gremlin. Just because that's kind of, I think that sums it up pretty much. Just a kind of pest on the internet, in a nice way, in a nice way. But yeah, I've been doing like social media for about a year now. And yeah, just been able to meet some really cool people and do some really cool things in that year, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Before we're, getting into your career and your start and where you're now and your future goals and stuff, we're gonna be, talking about something more mundane.
Sure.
I know you already told me, but can you tell my listeners a bit about your day?
Yeah, so my day started about an hour ago. I woke up. But yeah, no, I've just been kind of dealing with the heat. It's very hot in England right now. Well, I guess like for people who are listening around the world, they're probably like, it's not that hot. For England, it's boiling right now. It's like 19 degrees outside. So we are not prepared. No air conditioning, nothing. So I've just been, sweating it out, chilling at home. Yeah, I've just been planning my day. I try to start my day with like a little to-do list. So yeah. Just been planning my day.
Hey, you tweeted about it.
Yeah.
Your to-do list. Wait, I need to, I'm kind of stretched my leg funny.
That's okay.
This is the problem with having long legs.
Yeah. I can't relate, but you know what?
So when it comes to my day, I started it about 2 hours ago. So it's a bit better than you.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. I slept on the couch. Not in my room. That sounds so negative. Like,
yeah, I was like, oh.
No, I just slept on the couch because I accidentally just slept there. I was having a bit of a movie night with myself, you know,
oh,
watching
that.
Random documentaries. And then I just fell asleep. So I kind of just woke up. So there's nothing really special about it, but that is what happened. And it always happens to me that I just, you know, fall asleep on the couch.
Yep.
Just everyone in my family is like, oh, okay, whatever.
Especially when it's hot, like we were saying, you just pass out when it's hot.
You do. And it's just, you know, it's really not, it's not that bad actually, but it's not that good either. But yeah, it takes about an hour, not about an hour, it takes about 40 minutes to get here. And we don't, just like in the UK, we don't really have air conditioning. It's not really anything you need in the colder European countries because we rarely have it hot here. Very rarely. So we kind of like open all our windows here and just try. And then that's the worst thing because then, you know, there are flies coming in and there are bees coming in. I have so many mosquito bites right now and it's just really horrible.
Do you know what? I don't think I've opened my room window since I moved into this house. And I think we've lived here for 8 years now. But it's because when we moved in, I saw wasp's nest like right under my window. And I was like, I'm not opening this window ever. And it's been 8 years. I've never opened it. I don't even know if it opens at this point.
Yeah.
It's probably like rusted shut.
Maybe you can, you know, make it a goal for this year. You open the window.
I don't know if I want a wasp in my room though.
But you can,
I think let's shoot for 10 years. You know what I mean? Let's go the full decade.
You can do it in the winter times in 2 years.
Yeah, maybe in the winter.
Yeah. So that was a bit about our day.
Yeah.
But you got your start on social media, which you're still on, like everybody else.
Sometimes.
And what did the idea come from for starting a personal brand? And
So it's something that I've always wanted to do. Like I've been watching YouTube since I was 11, so it was kind of always in the back of my mind, like I wanted to do it, but I wasn't very confident until very recently actually that I kind of grew into myself. It definitely did take like a lot to even be comfortable with the idea of putting myself out there. I mean, I tried a couple times in the past, but then, you know, I would give up because it wasn't going as quickly as I wanted. But then I was getting to the end of my fourth year of uni and I kind of knew I wanted to take a gap year. So I thought, well, now is the best time. So during the end of my fourth year, when I should have been studying for my exams, I basically started posting on Instagram fashion content. And that was kind of what I enjoyed. I gained a small following from doing that. But, you know, I kind of fell out of love with it. I got a few things that happened in my personal life and it just didn't really match the whole fashion content anymore. I kind of found out a lot about myself, a lot about like what I wanted to be and how I wanted to express myself, and I realized I wanted to be more than my looks, if that makes sense. So with fashion content on Instagram, it's very dependent on how you look and not much else, I think, like in my opinion anyway, because the thing I wanted to do was show my personality a bit more. And I thought, well, the best way I can do that is through talking. But with Instagram, it's quite hard because, you know, you're used to just seeing the picture scrolling through. So I thought, well, you know, I've always liked watching gaming content and watching comedy content on YouTube. Why don't I give it a shot myself? So then I started doing Twitch streaming and YouTube, and I started playing The Sims because that's the only game I owned at the time. It's a game I enjoyed the most. And I thought, well, I watch Sims YouTubers, so why don't I give it a shot myself? And yeah, that kind of took off from there, where I just started, you know, I found the back and forth on Twitch where I could interact with people in real time a lot nicer than just talking to myself and uploading it on YouTube. So yeah, I've been really enjoying it so far. So it's been a bit of a weird journey, but yeah.
Yeah. How long ago was it that you started doing Twitch streams?
So Twitch, I started properly in December 2021. So yeah, it's been about 6 months now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've taken a couple months off in between. So yeah, I'm pretty proud of myself for starting, actually, because I think it's always hard to start. You know, you keep thinking about a project and like putting it off because you want it to be perfect, but sometimes you just got to jump into the deep end and just do it.
Yeah, you gotta just get yourself out there and try.
Yeah,
try again.
Exactly.
I remember when I was being bullied in school, and my mom, she came to the school and she, you know, spoke with the principal, and she was like, well, the people who are, you know, bullies in school, if they don't get any repercussion for it, they'll continue in their adult lives at work and be horrible people too. And this principal, it was like all shocked. It was like, oh, well, I've never thought about it before. It was like, well,
it's you were probably the bully then.
Right. I mean, it's common sense.
Yeah. I mean, the same thing that happened for me, like, well, I was bullied for being brown. I'm Indian, in case, I don't think I said that, but yeah. Yeah, I was one of the only like people of color in my whole school. And, you know, I think that in my year, there were maybe like 5 or 6 of us. And, you know, I was bullied a lot for being chubby, for being Indian, for being, you know, whatever it was. And my mom went and talked to the people, and they were like, well, you know, no one else has reported bullying. And I'm like, you don't understand how bullying works then, do you? Because it's not like they're going to bully a group of people. They'll pick one person and bully them. Mm. But like, because no one said anything, there was never any repercussions. And I guess I don't know where those girls are now, but I assume they probably think it's okay to still do that to people. Mm. You know, you need to, what is it we say in England? We say something on the tube. It's like, see it, say it, sorted. Mm. Yeah. It's a rule to live by.
Right. I feel like a lot of people also kind of maybe not publicly admit to what they've done is wrong.
Yeah.
But kind of it eats away. It makes them sick mentally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Years afterwards. Maybe they, you know, wake up. I don't know. I can't really relate.
Yeah, no, calm is I guess,
you know, I've been mean, or, you know, we've all been mean or something. Yeah. I feel like at least I can wake up in the middle of the night, or like when I try to go to sleep, I can think about, oh my goodness, 15 years ago I did this. It was bad.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think it takes a lot of soul searching to kind of understand that what you've done is wrong, accept it, grow from it. I mean, that's like we were talking about cancel culture. It's a similar thing. Like, you know, people say things that aren't acceptable, and then they understand that what they've done is wrong. They learn that it's wrong. They grow and they don't do it again. And that's why I don't understand the whole cancel culture concept, because I'm like, what is your end goal with canceling this person? Surely it's that they learn that it's wrong and they don't do it again. I don't know. Some people just want them to go and stay gone.
There are exceptions to this, but I feel like most people learn from their bad behavior.
Yeah.
And, you know, people change. Even you can be horrible for a few years, and then you can realize that I was wrong and I apologize. Maybe that's not enough, but you know that what you did is wrong and you've apologized. I feel like, why should you then be punished for something you did decades ago? You know.
Yeah, I mean, if we all think back to 10 years ago, you know, no one on this planet is perfect. You can be a good person, but even the best of people have slipped up every now and then and done something mean or done something, you know, unsavory to someone. And you can't, like, if we all think back, like, if I think back to when I was 13, I'm a totally different person now. So how can you hold someone to that? I mean, you know, I used to wear like puffer vests to school and I don't know, do like, to be fair, now that I think about it, I'm pretty similar to how I was at 13. But, you know, I was a bit of a weird, like, creepy little kid. And it's like, you know, yes, I turned into a weird, creepy adult, but in a more like pleasant way. Yeah. You know, you do change. You learn that certain things aren't okay. I mean, I used to go around saying like, I see dead people, to be like edgy and cool. And it didn't make me edgy or cool. It just made everyone scared of me. So, you know, there's certain things you learn and you kind of, you change and you do a little bit differently as you get older. And that's okay. That's part of life. Everyone's allowed to make, I think as human beings, you have to make mistakes in order to learn. There's no other way. You have to fail in order to learn.
Yeah, most definitely. And definitely we need to be able to not let go of those kinds of mistakes, because yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, if we're creepy weirdos, I feel like maybe we can just tone it down and not build the entire personality.
Oh, 100%.
And I feel like if people don't get your weirdness, then they're not the ones for you.
Exactly. You need to, I think the thing is with friends, like, as someone who was a creepy little, like, you know, I was like the weird artsy kid in the back who, like, you know, I was super into stuff like My Chemical Romance and Black Veil Brides, like when it wasn't like acceptable. You know, everyone else was listening to Taylor Swift and One Direction. I was sitting there with like my hair over my eyes, like looking like a proper little, I still look like that to be fair, but you know. But yeah, like I think I used to try and fit in with the popular kids who liked like all the different things to what I liked, and changed myself a lot to try and fit in with them. And then the older I got, the more I just started going back to it. I mean, I had that period as well where I stopped dressing the way I liked and I started dressing the way that was acceptable, and I did a lot of things to fit in. And then as I got older into my 20s, I realized, well, why am I changing myself to fit in with people who actually I don't talk to anymore? And, you know, it's a lot of self-discovery and finding out what you like and finding people who fit into your life rather than the other way around, like trying to change yourself to fit in with other people. I think you find your own brand of weird, and then you find the people who love that. And, you know, I mean, my friends now, we're not all the same. Like, we like very different things, but we all love each other for being different. And I think that's the beauty of adult friendship, is there's less of you, but the ones you got are pretty golden.
Yeah, I feel like here in Sweden, we have something before, like between daycare and elementary school. Mm-hmm. We have something called 6 years. And it's because it's when you're 6 years old, you're kind of you're in elementary school, but you don't have any class. Okay. But you do get to learn. It's sort of, it's like the in-between thing. Mm-hmm. And this was in the middle of the 2000s. We had a practice that now has been banned in schools here, but it was called something called, it was an acronym of something called SET. And it was like, it was teachers taking notes of their students, six-year-olds, and how they behaved in schools. And in like in between, not classes, but the equivalent of classes when you're that age. And they were also, you know, checking like the amount of friends you had and the way, like how popular you were, like 6-year-olds, how popular you were. And, you know, if you, they had like a list. So if you were on the bottom of the list, if you didn't have that many friends, you kind of had it harder in class because they'd, you know, listen to the popular kids a bit more. This was extremely elitist, so they kind of banned it.
What the heck?
But then they banned it like a few months later. But I still remember it. We had to be like in a circle each morning, and they'd, you know, check the list of who was more popular and who had like the most friends and who.
Oh wait, they told the kids?
No, they didn't tell the kids, but they had like a record. of people. So like the people who were at the highest of the list were the ones who were able to raise their hands to answer a question. They would always get to answer the question. And we don't really have grades until you're like up in grade 6 or something.
Yeah.
So when you're like 12, 13. But it was still, harm your school reputation if you were not popular. And, that came out, like documents leaked and stuff. And, I remember my mom, she was extremely mad at this elitist sort of way of thinking. So she was like, well, most kids and adults even work the best when they have like a small amount of friends they're with. Because if you have like 20 friends, you most likely won't really hang around all of them all the time. And then you won't. Yeah, and you won't be able to connect to those people and, build like strong bonds between them. If you have like 2 or 3 friends, or like even 1 friend, that's a lot better. Yeah. And the teachers were like, well, I hadn't thought about it before, but it makes sense. Well, obviously it makes sense. It's common sense.
It teaches you more about like genuine friendships, I think, if you have less friends. At least, I don't know. I don't know whether it's the ADHD in me. I can't physically focus on that many people at once, like and have like a deep meaningful relationship with more than, when it comes to friendships, like more than a handful of people. Like I don't remember that much stuff about, because I have a very bad memory in general. I can't remember like 25 birthdays. Are you kidding me? If I didn't have Facebook, like Jesus, I don't think I'd be able to remember anyone's. But at least like when it comes to like, I've got, I would say, 3 close friends from school. 3 or 4. And, I remember all their birthdays. I remember what they like. I remember their favorite colors. I remember their parents' names. Like, but if I had 25 friends, are you kidding me? I don't think I could remember any of that stuff. I remember where I was when I met every single one of those people. Mm-hmm. But I think if you had to ask me every single one of my classmates, sure. Like if you talk about who I'm friendly with superficially, there's a bunch of people. But if it's like, who's your real genuine friend who you can turn to if you need anything, or if you're in a dark place, who are you going to talk to? There's like 4 people I think I could turn to, maybe. And that I think there's like a real beauty in that you can really concentrate on those people and enjoy their company fully and know them as like a full person, rather than, oh yeah, I know this person, and we talk like once a week, and it is what it is, but you don't really know them. But yeah, that 6-year-old elitist thing, that's crazy, man.
Yeah,
I would have been right at the bottom of the list. I was so quiet.
So I feel like I was in the middle somewhere. But to all the Swedes out there who were born in the 90s and early 2000s, do you remember Set, S-E-T? Tell me on Instagram. I would love to know if you remember Set.
Crazy.
But yeah, back on your career.
Back on track.
So you did Twitch.
I did.
And it was because you still do,
I still do.
Instagram. yes, and Instagram and Twitter and all of that. But it was more so like fashion in the beginning.
Yeah.
You did try to take on YouTube, but it wasn't thing.
I hated editing. I can't physically sit there. And you know what it is? Like, it's not so much editing, you would think, is like the ADHD person's dream. It's not, because I can't do anything else while I'm editing. I have to really be zoned in on it. And you have to focus on the sound, so you can't watch anything while you're doing it. You have to focus on the vision, so you can't like, dart your eyes around and do something else while you're editing. You really just have to sit there and do that one thing. And I hate it.
I
need like 7 things going at once. So editing was not for me. I have thought though, if I ever am able to afford an editor, maybe I will go back to doing edited YouTube content. But until that day comes.
I love editing. It is so really? I have ADD, which is really similar to ADHD. Actually, they're the same diagnosis. It's just that ADHD it's more physical symptoms.
Yeah.
Like not being able to, you know, sit still and stuff like that, along with, you know, not being able to concentrate. And ADD is also called like ADHD one, I think. And it's like the same thing, but I'm too lazy. So like I never move my body.
It's just the attention, isn't it? Rather than the hyperactivity.
Yeah. So I just love editing. It is so nice because I can sit there for hours and just figure out, because I edit in Final Cut Pro. I remember in school I had to learn Adobe Premiere, I think it's called, and I never understood. I never understood it. So they were like, okay, well, so that you don't fail this class, you can do it in Final Cut Pro. And I was like, okay.
I think when I did art in school, and I did digital, but it was editing as well, and we used Final Cut Pro and Adobe, and they basically said like whichever one you prefer. Even that, dude, like I couldn't figure it out. I used to hate it, just sitting there all day. And it depends, like when it comes to stuff like art, at least I can listen to music while I'm doing it, and then that's something else to stimulate my brain. With editing, it's just I have to listen to my own voice for hours, and I'm like, ew, I hate this so much.
I did something. I have a life hack for you, because I take a lot of breaks during editing. So I listen to a lot of music and a lot of podcasts, and I do take a lot of walks, which are kind of opposite to what you're doing. But I do take a lot of walks around my neighborhood, or I'm just standing in the kitchen. I'm usually editing in the kitchen on my laptop, because I feel like, I don't know why, but I feel like the most creative there. We're here in the studio.
Have you ever heard of human design? It's like astrology, but it's like a little bit different. Okay, I'll send you a link, because I feel like me and you might have the same personality type, because my thing says like you're most creative in kitchens and studios.
That's
it. I was like, oh my god.
Can you tell my listeners about human design, what that is?
Yeah, so basically, well, I'm not very well versed in it. I've just like found it and a bunch of other stuff as well, but I'm really into astrology. So basically, you just plug in your like details, like, you know, your birthday and time of birth and all of that fun stuff. And then it basically shows you like it comes up with a picture of a human body. And then there's basically gates and channels coming from different areas of the body. So your head, your throat, I think there's like the sacral space, the spleen. There's a bunch of different areas in the body, and it basically will give you insight into why you are the way that you are. I love stuff like that. It just tells me why I am like this. Because I don't know, sometimes I'm just sitting there like, I'm crazy. Like what happened to make me like this? So I love stuff like astrology and human design and stuff that just explains to me like why I'm like this. It's scarily accurate though, because it's not just like, you know, in astrology, there's like a few, like the signs and the planets and all that. In the human design, it's really like in depth. There's like 40 plus channels and gates and stuff like that, and they tell you like what each one means. It's crazy, dude. Like I'm trying to learn about it, but it's insane. It's so detailed and spookily accurate. It's crazy. But yeah, that just like shocked me. I was like, oh my god, we have the same thing.
We talked a bit about, we didn't talk about it here, but let's talk a bit about rejection, because it happens quite a lot. And there are moments where when you reach out to a brand and they reject you, or they don't get back to you and stuff like that, and you take it to heart, which you shouldn't be. So in the industry, no matter what it is, if it's in like entertainment, you can't really be taking too many things at heart, having it be, you know, personal to you, because it's not about you as a person. It's more about them having another person they're more interested in doing the work with. But what's your history with rejection?
Man, I mean, there's a lot. I think when you're doing in social media specifically, I think when you're a social media person, and be it Twitch streamer, Instagram influencer, YouTuber, whatever it is, you have to basically be your own marketing agency as well. You have to market yourself. You have to send the emails yourself. You know, so, I mean, some people are lucky enough to have an agent and to have, you know, people who do that for them. But I think if you're starting out bare bones, you've got no representation, nothing. You are everything to yourself. And that's tough because you're doing like 2 full-time jobs at once now, plus like all the other stuff you have to do as well. And you have to expect that you send an email and you just don't get a reply. And that's okay. That, I mean, I think you, there's like a certain degree of like realism you have to have, but you have to be optimistic as well. There's sometimes it's, at the end of the day, it's a business transaction, right? They're trusting that you have enough engagement to sell their product. But like, if you're thinking about like a fashion influencer getting sponsored by a brand, they're sponsoring you with the expectation that your followers will click the link and buy something from them. Now, if you don't have that kind of reach or that kind of engagement, or even that kind of following who's interested in fashion or whatever it might be, then they're not going to kind of choose you to work with. So it does suck, but I think instead of being like, oh well, I'm never going to do it again, you should kind of take it as motivation. Like for me, if I don't get an email back from a brand, I'm like, okay, well, let me see who are they working with and what do I need to do to be at that person's level. So instead of seeing it as competition, I see it as a motivating factor. Like, okay, well, let's see, if they don't want to work with me, then what do I need to do to get on their level? And then, you know, once you hit the, and then you start setting goals and then you start hitting those goals and then you reach out again. And I think you should never be shy to reach out more than once. Because, you know, I've reached out to brands when I was just starting. Like, I mean, Razor is a good example. I applied when I was just starting and I didn't hit the requirements. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I emailed them again, like, I think in May. And I got an email back that they accepted. So, you know. And I think there's also a misconception that people ask you in social media and everything. One thing I learned is if you don't ask, you don't get. You have to reach out yourself, because sometimes, yeah, brands will reach out to you, but it's quite rare and it doesn't really happen until you're pretty big. So if you want to work with a brand, shoot your shot. Worst case scenario, they say no. Like,
yeah,
they're not going to shame you on, you know, they're going to be like, oh, this idiot reached out to me. No, they'll just be like, hey, we're looking for certain. I mean, I've had emails back being like, you know, right now we're looking for people who have this, 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 and this. Once you hit these requirements, reach out again. And, you know, that's a nice brand who will do that for you, but some brands won't do that. And that's okay. You just have to go and do that research yourself. You're like, okay, they haven't messaged me back. Let's see what they require and let's try and hit those things. So, yeah. I mean, at first I got pretty disheartened, but then I started thinking like, okay, well, let's be better. Let's see how I can improve and how I can make my streams better and how I can make myself more brand friendly, quote unquote. But yeah, it's tough at first, but I think you get so desensitized to it. Like at this point, if I don't hear back, I'm like, oh, I expect not to hear back. And then when I do, it's like, oh, that's nice.
And they get a lot of emails.
Yeah.
From a bunch of people. They have hectic schedules and mostly they work for various regions. So they have like one person, one manager taking care of like entire regions and reaching
out. Absolutely.
They're, you know, busy. So they don't, even brands I work with don't always reply to me when I, like my Twitter manager, for example, he never responds to me, but he always sees what it is that I'm emailing, but he doesn't have time to respond to me.
Yeah. I mean, like they probably have like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, if not thousands a day emailing them, trying to be like the next big thing. So you have to kind of, they have to pick and choose, and sometimes they make good decisions, sometimes they make bad decisions, but I think everything happens for a reason, and if it doesn't happen now, it will happen in the future. If it never happens, it probably wouldn't have been good for you, you know. There might be something better that comes down the pipeline later on. It's okay, but you know, I had like a massive fear of failure, so that's been something that I had to kind of overcome. And, you know, sometimes getting rejected does feel like a failure. And it can be like, it's, you know, we're all human. Like you do feel really bad about it for a long time. And you're like, you know, you start linking it to your self-worth, like, oh, well, no one wants to work with me because I'm bad at what I do, blah, blah, blah. But that's not the case. It just means that, you know, I don't know how to say it in a non-harsh way, but there's just people who are better, and that's not a bad thing. That just should be a motivating factor for you to be better and to, you know, work that little bit harder and find your niche, because it might just not be for you. I mean, you know, when I was reaching out to fashion brands and not getting replies, it just meant that maybe I'm not meant to do fashion, you know, and then I tried something else, and you just got to keep hopping around and finding what you're good at. But yeah, I mean, I think, like, also the thing with copying, like, I don't think you should ever copy. I know what you mean, but I think it's important to say you should never try and copy, because I get a lot of people asking, I don't know why people ask me, like, I'm some sort of like knowledge bank, but whatever, I don't mind, because I feel like I have like decent advice, you know, pat myself on the back a little. But yeah, no, I mean, people are always like, well, how do you do it? And I'm like, well, I'm just myself. And I think that's the only thing you can do is, yeah, I mean, I looked at people who did the same thing. Like, I looked at other people who did Sims on YouTube and kind of how they did it. And I just thought, like, you know, there's certain things that I can put my spin on. And I think that's important, is that you can take inspiration from people, but at the end of the day, you have to put your individual spin on it. Because trying to be someone you're not is never, ever, ever going to be a long-term thing that you can maintain. And I think that's where a lot of people, when we see people get in trouble on YouTube, I mean, I follow a lot of drama channels and commentary channels just because I find it interesting. But whenever I see people who get in trouble for doing things, I'm like, it's because you try to maintain a facade that is not you. You know, like, people who are trying to be super politically correct and they're not. And then it slips out because they've built up this brand of being super politically correct, but they're not. And then they say something stupid and they say something like racist. And then it's like, oh, because that's who they are. And I'm not saying you should go online and be like a super hateful person. I'm just saying, if you know that you're not like that, then you, like, don't, either just don't talk about those topics full stop, or just, you know, all I can think is, like, you have to just be yourself. You have to be authentically you, because it will come out eventually. No one can maintain that person, like, a whole different personality forever. It's gonna slip up and then you're gonna get in trouble. So just be yourself, and whoever likes you will like. I mean, look at people like Logan and Jake Paul, right? I don't like them personally, so I don't watch them, but they don't try and maintain a facade of being like goody two shoes kids. They're assholes, and that's how they've built their following, which is fine. Like, you know, that's their thing. So at least they're authentic to themselves. God bless them. Like, you know.
Yeah.
But I think you have to be yourself. That's the only way you can actually succeed and not make it a long-term thing. It's just, you have to be completely authentic.
And when it comes to, kind of, there are people who unfortunately have made careers in copying other people, like celebrity impersonators, for example. I feel like that's a cool thing, but I couldn't personally do that, you know. When we think of, like, I don't know, I've never been to Las Vegas, but, you know, in Las Vegas, there's a lot of, like, celebrity impersonators. There's, like, Elvis impersonators. There's Marilyn Monroe impersonators. I feel like people have built careers for decades pretending to be them. I feel like it's waste. No, maybe it's not. Maybe it's just that I don't get it and I'm just a bigot. But I just don't understand wasting my own time. I could have, you know, develop myself as a public figure or whatever, and I wasted on trying to be someone else all that time. I mean,
if there was, you know, get your bag, queen, that's the only thing I think about. I'm just like, okay, look, if it pays your bills, go off. I mean, personally, I agree. I would rather be myself than pretend to be someone else. But I guess if it pays their bills.
Yeah, but I feel like there are a bunch of things then that does pay your bills that are similar in entertainment. And I feel like, and this is going to sound really harsh too, but I feel like a lot of people don't just do things in entertainment. There's a lot of people, like a lot of my friends who are actors and stuff, they work at the supermarket down the block, like down the street, 9 to 5 jobs to make ends meet, you know. They don't just solely do this, just like I don't think celebrity impersonators do what they do all the time. It's just that what they picked in the industry.
I mean, the way I see it is like you should, I think, like until you make it big, you know. And I'm always like, I'm an optimistic person. I think everyone can make it big if they want to, they set their mind to it. One thing that my dad always used to say is that you can do anything if you really set your mind to it. So I think that's true for everyone. But I think you should have a job that pays for your hobbies. Because unless you're like super, super passionate about your job, but I just don't think your job should be your whole life ever. I think it should just be like a means to an end. I don't know, like it depends. If for example, you're an accountant, yeah, and you're super passionate about accounting, good for you, you know? I just don't think like if we're talking about creative people, I don't think ever, like if any of us are in like quote unquote normal jobs, that we'll ever feel fulfilled. So I think like until you can make your fun creative thing your full-time job, get a job that pays for your hobbies, because then you can really have that financial freedom to do whatever it is you want to do in your spare time. And you know, you have a job that you like. Yes, don't do something you freaking hate and makes you want to die. But like you know, have a job that you like. But just think of it as like, this isn't my life. My life is my creativity and, you know, the stuff that I'm passionate about, but this is a means to an end. That's like, anyway, as someone who's struggling currently with like wanting to make creative things their full-time job, but also needing to pay bills, that's kind of how I'm thinking about it. It's like, let's just get a job that allows me to pay for my hobbies and then we'll go from there.
And that's what I'm doing currently. Like I live with my parents. I'm trying to, you know, get my own place. And everything is so expensive. I feel like Stockholm is kind of, if it's, I've read in the media that it's a bit more cheaper than London, but like just it kind of is it's in tying, you know, with London. So because here there's like no new buildings. They're always building flats and things like that, but there isn't enough space for everyone to move in. So you kind of have, so we ha you have to be like on a list from birth.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, this really, so
Huh.
yeah. So parents often, when you know their kids are, you know, like 2 or 3, they sign them up with the government so that they have because you're collecting points each year you live. And the more points you have, the more entitled you are to get a flat when you're in your 20s and stuff like
That's crazy.
So,
Dude, that's like, I mean, I'm saying crazy in like a, not in a mean, like just in a
no, I know.
wow, like a shock kind of way.
Yeah, so
That's
that's how
so
it works here.
interesting.
So, yeah, if your parents didn't, you know, sign you up for this list, you're a bit screwed. I feel like they signed me up a bit too late, so I don't have as many points as my friends do, but I feel like I can still, you know, get some alternatives where I want to live.
Yeah, so what happens if you have enough points but you can't afford the flat?
Yeah, you don't get the flat, sorry.
Damn.
And you have to pay, I think it's between 900,000 to, I don't know, at least 900,000 pounds or
Really?
something in order to live in the city.
For a flat?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm shook. Is it like a big fancy flat or is
No,
it like a
like
studio?
three rooms.
Okay, I mean 2 bedroom, 3 bedroom. Okay, that makes more sense. I thought if you meant like a 1 bedroom or like a studio for
No, like
900,000, I was like, Jesus.
here we have like a studio flats, or well, studio flats is what we call a one roomer, and then it's like you know, your kitchen and your bedroom, and then you have a bath. We don't count the bathrooms,
yeah,
for some reason. And then, you know, for two, like a two room is like one bedroom or something, and then you have a living room, and then you have, you know, a kitchen or something like that. Yeah. Kitchen and bath room, they don't count in. So like, okay, that alternative would cost like, yeah, £900,000.
Really?
But it depends where you live. If you want to live downtown, that's the case, or else you, it's like £100,000, £150,000, or £200,000. Okay. So I feel like
it's pretty similar to London then.
Yeah. So like, no one can really move in somewhere because you can't really afford it if you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
And you also need points.
That's correct. The points that, so is it like the Black Mirror thing, you know, where they have like the social rating? Is it just based on age, or is it based on like if you're a good person? Like,
oh, no, you can't get, they don't delete your points. It's just that when you signed up for it.
Okay, yeah. I was like, if it's like that social ranking thing, like you need a 5-star rating as a person.
But you do get more entitled the more points you have.
Yeah. Okay.
so it just depends when you sign up.
Yeah.
So a lot of people just sign their kids up when they're like 2 or 3.
Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah. I feel like it's a bit tricky. I feel like it doesn't really matter, to be honest. I feel like it's just as hard as in London to get your own flat and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I mean, buying a house here in your 20s, like even a flat, is unheard of. Even not even in London, just anywhere.
Yeah.
I think unless like, I don't know, it depends, because like in the south, I can't speak to the north of England, but South England, impossible, pretty much. Oh. You have to go to like a small town, and then maybe you can buy your own place. But in any of the like south cities, or like even south towns, it's pretty much impossible. For uni, like we have to, it's pretty common to like, you know, I don't know. I had friends who are from London, and then they just lived with their parents and like took the train to uni. For me, because I'm from like basically a field, there was like no shot that I could commute to uni, so I had to move out. And I was looking for one bedrooms and studios, and luckily like my loan covered rent, but that's it. So my parents were willing to help me with food and stuff like that. And but when I was looking for studios, I was just like, this is crazy, because you know, when you live with your parents, you're used to a certain standard of living. I mean, at least for me, like my mom's a clean freak, and we have like a certain standard of living, like hygiene wise. And when I moved to London, I was just like, oh my God, this is horrible, because I just got so depressed because it was so dusty. First of all, like the whole city is just dusty because there's so much pollution. But then like when you go to an old building, the dust like really settles into everything, and it's just dirty, like everything's dirty. And then when you're thinking about like, you know, when you live at home and you have your own room, you get kind of spoiled. I mean, at least like for me, I'm willing to admit that I'm a little spoiled by my parents where we live. And you know, going from having my own bedroom and then looking at flats where my bedroom would be in my kitchen, which also has like a little sliding door to my bathroom, I was like, oh my God, I don't think I can live here. No. And you know, I mean, luckily I managed to find nice places that were within budget, and I shared with people, and that's different as an only child as well. But you know, you really like, I think if you're used to a certain standard of living, it's really hard to move to to even think about buying a place where the standard has just dropped, but you're paying so much money. Like for me, I would rather keep saving until I can afford like a really nice place that I'm happy with, and that I can actually think of. I mean, you know, I'm not old, but I'm getting to that age now where I'm thinking about stuff like marriage and settling down and that sort of thing. And you know, if I buy a house, I would be thinking about a house where I can settle and like start a family eventually, even if it's in my 30s, like in another 10 years. But that's kind of what you're thinking about when you buy a house and you invest that much money into something.
Yeah.
And just thinking about like 750k for a studio flat makes me want to jump off a building. I'm like, that's so stupid. What sense does that make? Because how can you raise a family in like this? I mean, God bless the people that do, but you know, I can't imagine the stress that would come from having at least three people, like, you know, you, your partner and your child living in a studio where like your bedroom, bathroom and kitchen is the same place. I just, I think, like, you know, every human being deserves like to eat, sleep and shit in different locations.
Yeah.
I think that's the bare minimum, you know?
Yeah. And unfortunately, when there isn't enough
space, not the case.
Yeah. And I mean, what you gonna do?
Yeah, it's so sad. Like, it makes me so sad to think that it's got to the point where that should be normal, and it's not now.
No.
Yeah, this world's going crazy, man.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, I was watching something, so this is completely off topic as well. I was watching something where, like, not that we're on topic at all. No, I was watching something like with these people from LA, and they were like, oh yeah, I shower three times a week because LA is literally running out of water. And I said, huh? I was like, I'm sorry, you're running out of water. Like, I thought LA is meant to be like a really rich, like, high-end area. I'm like, you can't shower every day because the city's running out of water. That's crazy.
It's quite make it or break it situation. Depends on where you live. It can be quite extreme.
Because the rent's so high. I'm like, so you're paying. I was looking, because I look on like Zillow and stuff like that for floor plans to make houses on The Sims, trying to get back on topic a little bit.
Yeah.
I look on there, and like when I look at the rent, I'm like, it's $4,000 a month for like a two bedroom, right? And I'm like, that's crazy. So you're telling me you're paying $4,000 a month to not be able to shower every day? Huh? That does not make sense to me.
No,
I can't justify that.
No, it's just because a lot of people want to move to a certain place. They, real estate agent, not even real estate agents, they try to sell things, but owners of estate, real estate, they can, I've forgotten the terminology for it, I'm sorry, but they can, you know, they know that area is in such high demand that they can just, you know, raise,
take advantage,
and of the situation, and just because people want to move in there, they can get advantage of people, and that's just extremely cruel. But you know, money rules everything in this
world. Then you also got to think, like, if that landlord is also renting a place, let's say
landlord, thank you,
then how are they going to pay their bills? So it's like this endless cycle of like violence. How is one, you know, people, I mean, I'm saying it as someone who, like, you know, I've always been told to invest in property, to rent. And then I'm like, well, if I rented my own place, like, let's say I live in a one bedroom flat, then if I rented somewhere by myself, it would be maybe 1500 if I'm lucky, right? Probably more. So I would have to charge at least 1500 to whoever is renting from me. But then how can I just, like, do you know what I mean? It's just like this endless cycle of like violence. Like, how can you justify charging someone $4,000 a month? But then let's say your rent is $8,000 or your bills are $8,000 a month. Then you have to. It's so crazy. And like this, the minimum wage isn't increased. It's just, it gives me a headache. It gives me a headache.
Yeah, that's what I don't like, you know, corporations paying less and less to people, and then they demand more and more of them.
Yeah. It's that, like, work more hours, but I'm going to pay you less. Huh?
Yeah. And then you can't do anything about it, or I'll get someone else who can do it.
Because you have to live. It's so annoying. It gives me a headache. I hate thinking about real life.
I mean, I don't believe in like good or evil, but I feel like that is pretty evil.
That's pretty evil. No, I believe that. Karma's gonna come for these people eventually.
So we talked earlier about how engagement is more important to you than a lot of views and things like that. You told me an interesting story that in the beginning of your streaming days, you'd look at the numbers and how many people were watching your streams, and then, you know, you'd get a bit sad if they dropped and stuff. Can you tell me a bit about that?
I think that's pretty normal. Like, when you're doing something live, so for anyone who's never been on Twitch, I know it's like a platform that not a lot of people, and I mean, I know a lot of people who've never used it before. But yeah, when you're on Twitch, you can see while you're streaming, like, your view count. So it shows you, like, let's say 11 people are watching right now or whatever. But it's not super accurate all the time. But when I was first starting out, like, I would see that the view count was zero. And, you know, when you're starting, that's perfectly normal if you don't have friends who will... if you don't have friends, period. But if you don't have friends who will, like, watch you, it's fairly normal to start with zero.
Yeah.
I personally didn't tell anyone that I was streaming. So, you know, there was no one who really knew that I was doing that. So I was relying on natural engagement to just come through. And it did after a while, but, you know, you promote yourself on Twitter, whatever. But so when I was starting, I had zero viewers. And I kind of got in the habit of learning how to talk, which is why, like, probably people who are watching, like, Jesus Christ, like, they can talk for hours on end.
Yeah,
but it's because I've just got so used to it now. I would do 4-hour streams alone, just talking to myself. So I'm pretty good now at just letting my thoughts run wild and just talking. But yeah, then eventually I would see the number go up because, you know, one or two people had joined, and I was like, oh my God, like, now I can be even more entertaining because there's people watching. So I'd hype it up, and I would change tune, and I would stop just talking as if I was alone and talk as if I'm talking to people. So there was that energy shift, right? And then maybe that energy shift wasn't for people, so they would leave again and the number would go back to zero. And then I would get sad, and then I would just go mute because I was like, oh man, they didn't like my personality and they left.
So what do you do about it now?
So now, like, when I'm streaming, I cover it. So I don't see it at all the whole time I'm streaming. I never know how many people are watching. So I just have, like, one energy level the whole time. And then obviously, like, you can, there's different ways that you can tell, like, if people are chatting, then you know that there's people watching, right? Because how could they be talking to you if they're not chatting? So that kind of gives me an indicator if people are there. But even if they're not there and they're not chatting, I just now assume that there's people lurking. So there's people watching but not chatting. Maybe they're at work or something else. So my energy stays pretty consistent the whole time. And actually, I found that that works best for me because I'll be cracking jokes by myself, just trying to make myself... Truly, I just do it all for myself, which when I tell people that, they're like, that's a bit self-centered. And I'm like, well... is it though? Because I'm just trying to make myself happy and I'm trying to make myself laugh. That's it. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to say things that I would laugh at. And then people tend to like that because it seems more natural. Whereas if I'm trying to put on, like, a character and I'm trying to be funny or whatever, like, I always find it doesn't hit the same as just me talking. And then occasionally I'll come out with a zinger and people will be like, oh damn, that's funny. And most of the time they're just like, Jesus Christ, can you just stop, please, I beg of you. This isn't funny. But yeah, no, that's helped me a lot. That's helped my mental health a lot as well. I just completely ignore numbers now. Like, if people like it, they like it, they'll come and they'll watch. If they don't like it, that's fine, I'm good. Because at the end of the day, I'm just doing it for me now, so it's not really my concern. Obviously I like it and I appreciate it when people say that they like it. But I feel like it's just made it a lot more of a healthy environment because I'm not trying to put a character on. I'm just trying to be me. And if people like it, then they come. And if they don't, then they don't. And that's okay too.
So if you were to give some advice to a aspiring streamer, maybe about this, what would you say to them?
I would say just do it because you love it. Do play the games that you like, or if you're not, you know, if you want to be a gaming streamer, play the games that you like, even if it's not popular, because you'll find your people, right? If you like it, chances are there's at least a couple other people out there who like it too. Be yourself because people will like you. Don't worry about people not liking you, because if they don't like you, you really want them around you, like, you know. And you know, if the number, if you focus on the numbers, it becomes a, I know it's much easier said than done, but you tend to tie your self-worth to the number, and realistically the number doesn't matter. Numbers will go up and down. It can be bots, it can be real people, like, how do you know, right? So just don't focus on that. Focus on doing it for yourself. Do it because you like doing it. Do it because you want to do it. And don't, I don't know, I would say just don't put too much pressure on yourself. Like, a lot of people think about, oh, I need to, you know, I want like an extra source of income. I think it's okay to think that way. And it's okay, like, you shouldn't villainize people for wanting a different stream of income, because, you know, like we've been talking about, paying your bills is notoriously hard right now. But, you know, I'm not going to villainize anyone for thinking of Twitch like that, but just understand that for a long time it won't pay at all, and then when it does, it probably won't pay very well, and that's okay. But as long as you're just thinking, like, I genuinely love being here, I love doing it, that's all that matters. I'm doing it to make this small group of people who like me laugh. Just keep it healthy, you know? I think that's the only thing you can really do, is just try and keep your mindset towards as healthy as possible. Don't tie your self-worth to it, because at the end of the day, you're so much more than just an entertainer. You're a human being who has a lot of, take breaks as well. Like, if you need a mental health break, God knows I need them every other week. So, you know, take breaks if and when you need them. And yeah, just focus on making yourself happy. That's it.
One of the last things we're going to be talking about is goals and dreams.
Yeah.
Your goals and dreams, more specifically. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to tell you something that is not in the script that I wanted to just say. Now we're going off track again.
That's okay.
But I've been reliving, this past week, I've been reliving my childhood. I've been watching House of Anubis.
Oh my God, I love House of Anubis.
And something that really confuses me about British shows. So you're going to have to tell me about this, because this just confuses me so much. School uniforms.
Yeah.
We don't have them here. We do have like merch for schools. Like hoodies. Yeah, we could get, we could buy that. A merch.
Yeah.
With our school's logo on it. Then we'd wear it whenever we wanted to. Our school's colors. But in House of Anubis and other shows I watched, like Inbetweeners and stuff, when they wear school uniforms, it's like they have, like they wear it differently.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's like, because I've seen like documentaries where certain students are wearing their school uniforms differently. Like some have only, you know, a shirt and a tie, or some have, you know, a jacket over that, and some have I don't know, something else. And like, how does that work? Do you get to decide how you wear it, or like, tell me, because this confuses the hell out of me.
So I went to a school, I think like pretty much all schools here have school uniform. It doesn't depend on private or public. I know in America, it's private schools only have school uniforms, I think. But for here, it's private or public, you have school uniform. For me, I went to an all-girls school, so it was a little bit different. But our school uniform also, when I was there, is different to how it is now. But it was, so you could pick between a cardigan or a jumper for the outerwear. And then you could have a button-up shirt or a t-shirt, like a polo neck. So yeah, like a, like if you think Ralph Lauren polo, not that good quality, but you know, that's the style. And then you could pick between a skirt or trousers. So really, I don't know how it is for all schools, but I guess for, if you think of a co-ed school, there'll be a boy uniform and a girl uniform, right? So boy uniform would probably be like jumper plus button-up shirt plus tie, blazer, trousers, smart shoes. Girl uniform might be like a dress. Oh yeah, you could, you wear a dress as well when we were in primary school, like elementary school. I don't think we had dresses when we got to my other school, secondary, but anyway, so you can, you know, there's a bunch of different choices. It's mostly just the color, But the only thing that had like my school's logo on it was the t-shirt, jumper and cardigan had like the logo on it, and then that phased out. But we didn't have ties, but the other school near us did have a tie. So yeah, it's really customizable. I guess like the one thing I like about my school, actually, now that I think about it, because it was all girls, there was still like a customization aspect for gender identity. So for example, for myself, not knowing I was non-binary until I was like 20, but you know, having a sense that I didn't like certain super hyper feminine things, I used to wear the jumper and the trousers mostly. Sometimes I'd wear a skirt, depending on my mood, you know. And yeah, so I guess if you want to wear the more boyish outfit with the trousers and the jumper and the button-up shirt, you could do that. You didn't have to wear all of it. You could wear just like the shirt and the trousers. You could wear just the jumper and the trousers, you know, whatever you wanted to. As long as you looked decent, that's it. Like, you know, obviously you can't just wear the cardigan and a skirt, because that would be indecent, right? In case the button opens and you have a titty pop out, like that's not okay. But you know, as long as you look decent, that's pretty much all they're worried about.
Okay.
But I don't know, my school was never strict with it. Like we could roll up our skirts, make them super short. We could, which is what I did. And you could, yeah, I mean, you could unbutton the shirt up until like, you know, a decent area. It really depended, like hair color. You could do whatever hair color you really wanted. Like there was, my school had a lot of freedom of expression. But I know a lot of schools were very strict with it. So yeah, you have like basically like set pieces and colors. Like you have to wear gray trousers, whatever. Some people, like for example, if you can't afford the real school, this is why they phased out the logo on the jumper, in case some kids couldn't afford the, you know, 40, 50 pound school jumper. They could go and buy a blue jumper that was similar color, but maybe it was like 10, 15. So, you know, there's a lot of classism as well. I mean, I went to a private school, so there was a lot of like elitism and that sort of thing. And my school wanted to phase it out, so they made it super accessible. But I know other schools would kind of make it a little bit more elitist, and they were a bit more strict with like, you know, make sure your tie is tied this way and make sure your jumper is looking like this and make sure your shirt's tucked in or whatever. My school didn't really care. Luckily. Yeah, that's kind of how it works. I don't know about like different year groups. I know some places have like different year groups have a different colored tie or whatever. We didn't have that. We had that, and then when you get to sixth form you can wear whatever you want. But but I did read something interesting about that, that they said that the reason people give uniforms in schools, or one of, I don't know how real this is, so take it with a pinch of salt. They said that a reason they enforce school uniforms is so that if a child wants to rebel, the way that they rebel is by changing their school uniform and not by doing anything crazy.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, that's so smart, actually, because yeah, when I was in my rebellious phase, I did wear like a black jumper instead of a blue jumper, you know, or like red socks, or like I did my shoelaces kind of crazy. Like that was my form of rebellion rather than being violent or being something like, you know, do you know what I mean? Like when a kid wants to get their anger and frustration out through fashion.
I wore sunglasses to class in senior high. Not anyone said anything.
And like at the time you think this is so stupid, like why are they making me wear this? I hate it. I'm gonna wear something different.
Yeah.
And the teachers are like, cool, we're banking on the fact that you're hormonal, you're going through puberty, it's tough, you're gonna want to rebel. I'd rather you rebel through fashion than by being like, you know, a bad person, you know. So actually the older I get, the more I'm like, I see the logic. And I kind of agree with school uniforms now.
I heard another reasoning behind it, that it's a lot of bullying when it comes to like designer brands.
Yeah.
And that things like that. And that doesn't really work if you're kind of wearing the same thing.
Yeah. That's definitely, I think that's a good thing, to be honest. put everyone on a neutral playing field. I mean, we had it. I mean, you know, like I said, I went to a private school. I wasn't rich. I went there on a scholarship. I wasn't rich. I was just smart. But, you know, I had friends who were super, super rich. And yeah, like they would, on non-school uniform days, I would be coming in my, like, you know, bless my parents. They dressed me well, like as well as people they could. And I've always said that because I love fashion, right? I've always said, if you can take cheap pieces, things you buy for like £2-3 and make them look expensive, immediately I think you're more fashionable than if you buy a designer brand, because it's meant to be tailored. It's meant to look better. Like the quality is probably going to be better. So if you can take something that isn't meant to be looking expensive and make it look expensive, you're like 1,000 times more fashionable in my eyes. But I had friends who would come in with their designer bags and their designer shoes and all of that on non-uniform days. And I would be there in like my £10 jumper and like my, I don't know, £20 jeans. And I don't know, I still wouldn't feel bad. I mean, luckily I wasn't bullied for being poor, because I think people just thought I always preached that mindset. So I think I kind of hid it in a way that I was like, oh no, I'm not poor. I just think that if you can dress expensive without paying the money, then you're more stylish. You know, I would always say that. So I think, like, you know, I got out of the bullying for that. But yeah, I don't know. I agree though, because I see now with my cousins, like my younger cousins, that they're always trying to buy like Jordans, the shoes, is that what they're called? The really like expensive sports shoes. And I'm just like, dude, like, I don't get it. Like your parent, like, you know, your mom's working 3 jobs and you want her to buy you £500 shoes? Like, but then I get it, because I know what it's like to be bullied, and I wouldn't want anyone to go through that. So, yeah, sucks.
That's really interesting.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah, I got to know about that. So now I don't have to be confused when I watch House of Influence.
Exactly.
If we talk about goals, goals and hopes and dreams, you got
sure.
If we're limiting it to this year. And this doesn't have to, I don't want to pressure you into saying like you have to accomplish this.
Yeah.
But it's more of a thing that it would be nice, or if I'm currently at least trying to work on you know, achieving this, what would it be?
I think, like, because I do so many different things, like in terms of streaming and then art as well, I think my goal in general is to just be more consistent. I find it really hard to set specific goals, because then when you don't meet them, at least for me, I tend to feel quite sad about it. So I think like the one thing I can do is just aim to be more consistent, put out content that I'm happy with at a pace that I'm happy with. Just, you know, take breaks when I need them, obviously, but have the content there so that we're not going months without it. I just kind of want to be in a place where I feel happy with what I'm doing and I feel fulfilled, and I feel like I don't need to take those breaks, because I took them because of burnout. And, you know, be it from university, be it from content, whatever it might be, I think I just want to get to a place where I'm feeling like, yes, I can continue to do this at a good pace and I'm happy with where everything's going. And yeah, I mean, I don't have number goals really. I just want to be able to see that I'm making something of this little journey that I decided to take and this little experiment I decided to do. Because all of this content thing was an experiment, really. It was, can I do it? Let's see. Let's give it a real good try and see where it goes. And I've been very lucky so far. So just want to see where it goes, if I continue to improve and continue to love what I'm doing. That's the real goal, is just to continue loving what I'm doing.
Do you have any specific kind of plan this is how I'm going to achieve it?
I think I'm going to experiment with days, and I'm going to experiment with times for streaming, because that's the most difficult thing for me at the moment. Living at home, I used to do my streams quite late in the day to kind of compensate, because a lot of my viewers are from America. So to kind of compensate for them, I would stream quite late, but, you know, it was impacting my parents' sleep and my sleep. And I'm thinking, like, maybe let's try and do it Yeah, see if that works better. And then, you know, if I ever get to a point where I can move out, then we'll see about doing it later again. But yeah, just kind of experimenting with, okay, how much can I realistically do? So give it a month or so. I think like the next 6 months of this year are just all going to be about experimentation, really. Just see how much I can do, how long it takes me to do it realistically without rushing. And yeah, I mean, I have, in terms of specific goals as well, I have two Sim series coming out, which I'm super excited about starting. Yeah, they're both Let's Plays. So if you like The Sims, come along. If you don't, then we also do variety streams where we play stuff like Life is Strange, Detroit Become Human, that sort of stuff. Yeah. And then in terms of art, I really like, my goal is by January is to start kind of like my art business properly. Right now I'm just building a portfolio, but yeah, I would really love to do stuff like clothing and prints and stuff like that. But it's all based on interest and that sort of thing. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it is. Experimenting. There's lots of stuff that I want to try still that I'm too shy to try. Like, I used to be into music and performance, and you know, I used to really want to be a singer, but I'm just like, I don't know if I still have the talent. So well, I was thinking, like, you know, we'll give everything a fair shake, see what happens, see what doesn't happen, and kind of go from there. So
Yeah.
yeah.
Could you tell my listeners a bit about your art business? Because you've mentioned it now, but I feel like if you could explain it.
Yeah, so I mean, in terms of art, like, I've always been doing it since I was very young. I think like the one thing I did, like, you know, kids, you always doodle, but I was very into it. Like, it's always been how I got my thoughts out. As I've said, I have ADHD, and it's always been, I didn't know until I was 21, but it's always been really hard for me to articulate myself. I think I got better at it as I got older, but I didn't speak much as a kid. So the way I would kind of express myself is through drawing. I would just kind of draw what was in my head. And so that's what I used to do, is I would just draw whatever I was thinking. I'd fill sketchbooks up that I still have, design characters, design worlds to kind of escape into. And that's kind of what I still do, but I got better at drawing. Yeah, I did art for GCSEs, which is the exams you take here when you're 16. And yeah, I was never really encouraged to do it by teachers, by family, but it's something that I genuinely love. And no matter how many people say, like, you know, do something else, whatever, it's always been something that I go back to. And I think it's something that I really love, and it's something that just de-stresses me. So even if it's not like my style isn't for everyone, that's okay. It's for me. And like I said, that's all that really matters now. When I think about what I like doing, as long as I like doing it, that's all that matters. But yeah, I mean, because I kind of got put off and I went to uni and I was there for 4 years, I did take like a 4 to 6 year break from art. And then when I took a year off, I thought, well, you know, I'm trying to do everything to kind of feed my soul and make myself happy. And that's something that I went back to. And yeah, I started posting it on Twitter, and I posted it on Instagram, and people liked it. So yeah, it's something that I've been doing more of. And I'm really loving it. So yeah.
Cool. Now this episode is starting to come to an end.
Yeah.
Have you got everything you wanted to say?
I think so, yeah. I think I've
Cool.
bored your audience enough.
No, I'm not done. I have a challenge for you. So I made a Spotify
Oh.
with Spotify, and I let my guests curate their own playlists
Yes.
based on what they're into right now. So I wonder, I'm gonna give you some homework.
Sure. I
I
love
don't sound
homework.
like a teacher. I'm gonna give you some homework. I want you to create a playlist, and it should consist of at least 20 songs.
Yeah.
No artist is allowed to appear more than once
Okay.
that you do not personally know. If you know them, they're allowed to be on there like how many times as you want.
Yeah.
And be sure to link it to a theme.
Okay. I have a theme.
And when you're done with it, my listeners will be able to hear it. I'll link it in the description.
Sure.
Along with your social media. Tell my listeners a bit, where can they find you?
So you can find me at Shikari Tani, pretty much everywhere on the internet. I think I've secured it everywhere now. So yeah, that's pretty much where you can find me. I'm mostly on Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. So those are the best places to find me. Art-wise, you can find me on Inartirakis, which is my name backwards. Everyone's like, what does that mean? But it's just my name backwards. But yeah, that's mostly just on Instagram for artwork. So yeah, if that's your jam, then you can find me there. Yeah.
Cool. And you guys can find me on a bunch of places. And I've done the Beyoncé thing now that I only post whenever I have something interesting to post.
I love that for you.
So I'm not that much on Instagram, but Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok, YouTube, it's all 17. Yeah. And then on Twitter, it's real 17.
Because you are the real 17.
Yeah, and some ask my name.
No.
So yeah, we're on social media. Follow us there. And you have your playlist.
Yeah. Can I tell the listeners the theme?
Yeah, tell them.
So I'm kind of obsessed with Twilight right now. So it's going to be vampire themed. It's going to be If We Were Vampires, what my vampire theme tune would be. So look out for that.
Cool. And to all the listeners, thank you so much for putting up with us.
Thank you.
That means a lot. And if it's so that you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate and review. I think you can give up to 5 stars. Where 5 is like you loved it, 1 is you hated it. And on Apple Podcasts, you can give a little review, like a written review. So you can just, you know, give me feedback like that. And yeah, that's about it. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone. Bye.